You can make money by taking pictures and getting in the photography business. In this episode, we're going to talk about how to explore this business and make money through your photography. Our guest who joins us today is an extensive award-winning celebrity photographer and creative director with studios in Los Angeles and New York City. He is a corporate photographer to Fortune 500 CEOs and recently began teaching his process to photographers all over the world. Our guest who joins us is none other than Michael Greco. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, man. Hey, that's like the best introduction I've ever had.
I mean, it's a pleasure to have you on. I feel like there's going to be great synergy. Thank you guys for listening to this episode also. Regardless of how you're listening to this right now, thank you guys for choosing Breakthrough Success. The photography business, I feel like it's one of those areas that once you get into it can be a really exciting business if you know what you're doing. So I'm wondering, Michael, if you could just share with us how you got into the photography business and built it up to where you are now.
Well, I got into the business many years ago, and the business was completely different when I got into it, of course, over 30 years ago. I got into it because I fell in love with photography through the darkroom, which most people don't get to experience these days. But I literally was in the science shack at my summer camp in Westchester, New York, which is just, you know, it's a suburban area just north of New York City. And I learned the darkroom. I learned how to print. I learned black and white printing. And I went out and I photographed like the hot counselors in bathing suits at free swim and brought the film back in, processed the film, and then stuck it in an enlarger and made prints. And it was like this mysterious process, you know, it was magic. It's like the print starts coming up through the chemistry and all of a sudden you have a photograph, and you never knew, like the pedestrian, you know, the consumer never knew how it happened. And then you sort of like get to see a little behind the curtains peek, right? And you see this print coming up in the developer. So it was totally cool. And I totally fell in love with it.
And it's interesting how things have changed then versus what they are now. And I think one of the big changes with the photography business, obviously the biggest change, is that you have social media, you have the internet now. So I'm wondering, have those been really essential for taking your business to the next level, or are you still primarily doing a lot of offline stuff to grow?
Well, the biggest change is there's no more film and there's no more darkrooms and there's no more, you know, people aren't processing pictures anymore. Everything's digital. But as far as marketing, you know, I'm asked this question a lot. I think that marketing is a multi-pronged approach, right? So social media has got to be part of it because sometimes it's the first thing that people look for. I had a client who knows my phone number and knows my email, direct mail me a couple of days ago for a job at the end of the month via Instagram. And I'm like, wow, that's kind of a first. Like, you know, people in the advertising agency world usually email you or pick up the phone, usually email you first. So, you know, social media is always present and necessary because it's like, it's the first way for people to see how cool you are and, you know, get a barometer on you. But it's not the only way to market. And it's certainly not, it's not the way to necessarily penetrate large ad agencies or the people I work for overall. Like, you know, you could have a fabulous Instagram and someone could spy you on Instagram and then decide to DM you and try to connect with an assignment. But that's, I think, more hit and miss. I think that, you know, figuring out how to penetrate the ad agency and getting in and getting a large campaign for me is not just social media.
And I really like how you describe social media, because social media is a visibility platform and it's a way for people to see you for the first time, but those deeper relationships are going to take place via email, phone, in person, but social media is a way to gain visibility and just get some word out there. But it certainly shouldn't be the only piece in your strategy.
That's right. And you know, they used to say, you know, you have to do everything to market yourself in the photography world. You have to do meetings, you have to do direct mail pieces, you have to advertise in the source books, which were literally used to be, you know, before the internet, people would print a book that had work in it that you paid to have in it, and people would use that as a resource. So now you still have to do everything, but what you do has changed. You know, source books are pretty much useless to me. You know, people are doing less and less in-person meetings. They'll do some, but they do less and less. So you have to have a multi-pronged approach to marketing, but what you do has changed with the times.
And marketing is constantly changing. That's a key theme because, you know, there's a new social network that can come out. There's new events that can pop up. There's so many, like, marketing is always moving. It's never the set tactics that you do to accelerate your brand and get these gigs. And I'm wondering, like I mentioned earlier, you were a celebrity photographer. I'm wondering if you could tell us how that happened, like how you got those types of gigs. Versus like, you know, like when you're first starting out, you get whatever gig you can find.
You know, though, starting, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, a great photographer who I admire a great deal, Gregory Heisler, had shot a tremendous amount for all the major magazines for many, many years. He said, and he said this 20 years ago, he said, it's harder to get work now as an assistant than it was to get work 20 years ago. And that was 20 years ago. So I think that it's really, really difficult to get good work and get good paying work because you have the cliff in the photography world, because you have the classic economic, you have the classic economics of too much supply and not enough demand. So the technology has lowered the barrier of entry for people to be photographers. So there's a glut of supply, right? And then at the same time, there's a lack of demand for high paying, high caliber photography because most of people's media buys are going to social media as the magazine world is going out of business.
And I mean, with iPhones and stuff like that, anyone can take pictures, but it does take that professional eye to get that right image. And it is interesting how the state of it now is a little bit of a low demand and a high supply of photographers. Granted, there are still some photographers like Michael who are getting gigs, who are getting paid. And I know you started to teach photographers your approach. So I'm wondering how you transition to that role of helping other photographers make it?
I don't know if I've, you know, I don't know if I've transitioned into that role. I'll go out and I'll speak and inspire. I don't really teach at like a college or anything like that. So, you know, I don't teach business. I teach anecdotally. I'm asked to speak and talk about copyright a lot because I seem to, you know, I've been doing that a long time. And I think that if people are going to spend a lot of money and a lot of time and potentially go to school and learn photography and learn the trade and buy equipment and attempt to make it as a photographer, they should copyright register their work so that it's protected. That's really the only way you can protect your work is by actually filing a registration with the U.S. Copyright Office, Library of Congress. Not doing that does not protect the work. Yes, you own the copyright when you take the picture, but you do not get the protection of the law, the full protection of the law, unless you actually physically take the image and get it registered. So I speak about that a lot. And I'm always, you know, I'm always trying to be helpful in the industry. I used to be on the board of what was the Advertising Photographers of America. It's now called American Photographic Artists. You know, and I was the advocacy chair there. I've started the American Society for Collective Rights Licensing. You know, I'm more of an advocate for photographers' rights rather than a hands-on teacher of, you know, how they could be successful.
And obviously there are different ways to be that mentor. I mean, some people, they go really deep into the teaching. Other people, you just speak on a few stages, you inspire, and then that helps photographers who want to pursue that path. I am wondering on that, on the inspiration side, what advice would you have for someone who's just getting started as a photographer?
Well, you know, as we were discussing just moments ago, it's a really tough business. So, like, you really have to be prepared. You really got to want it, right? You got to want it, and you got to want it bad. You just have to have perseverance. So that's the first thing. I think the next thing is to do an aspect of the business that you love, right? Mm-hmm. Whether that's a specific type of photography or retouching or casting, or, you know, you need to do an aspect of the business that you really are in love with. And then you have to have, you know, some sort of business sense. You can't do it blindly. You can't just do it and hope it's going to work. You have to be business savvy and strategic. I mean, I if people go to school for photography, I would just as much recommend that they go to school for business, you know?
And I love how you bring up the business, because I'm a big numbers guy. And I feel like if you don't know your numbers, you could fall into a position where you make $10,000, but it costs you $11,000 to make that $10,000. And if you are not in your numbers, you may fall into that trap. And something like photography, content creation in general, it's very passion driven. It's, I love what I'm doing. I just want to keep on doing this forever. And while that's very great to have that type of mentality, do the work you love, I do feel like it can take away some of the business savvy, because you're more focused on your love of working, producing great art, than the business side. So how are you able to, like, you know, stay in love with your craft, but also have the business savvy in place and not let the love kind of take over the number crunching?
Well, I mean, I'm one of those unusual people. I decided a long time ago in my life that I was going to be creative in all aspects of my life. That includes the business side. So I love the business side. I create new businesses. I've got decent cash flow because I have other businesses that are other than, you know, just picture taking and directing. But it's hard, and I think you have to embrace it. I mean, you talk about watching the numbers. So think about it this way. You could talk about watching the numbers for just taking the pictures, right? So, you know, someone says, you know, and this has happens a lot, didn't used to, we normally would get paid in the past licensing and expenses, right? Now there are companies that say, we'll pay you $500 to bring us back this picture. And you're giving a great example. Watch your numbers. Make sure that picture didn't cost you more than $500. Or let's say they'll give you $2,000 and it doesn't cost you more than, you know, $2,000. Well, let's dig a step deeper. It shouldn't not cost you $2,000, but it should cost you less. It should cost you enough so that you make your overhead and your depreciation and you pay your taxes. And then let's back it up even further, that if you're going to market and spend money for marketing, make sure there's an ROI and you're not spending more money on marketing than you can make. So as you using your example, as you dig in really deep, it's very easy in this business to not only make sure you're not overexpending on your production, but you got to make sure you're not overexpending on your overhead and then not overexpending on your marketing.
And Michael brings up a really great point, because it's not just about breaking even. It is if you have that $2,000 opportunity, like how can I spend only $1,000 on this? So I am walking away with something substantial, because if you get the $2,000 opportunity, but you're spending $1,990 and you have a $10 profit, is it really worth it, all the hours you have to put in? Because then if you do the math and let's say it takes you 4 hours and you're getting $10 in profit, that's $2.50 per hour. So you do want to think of it that way as well, because I do feel like there are so many people who they will underprice themselves. They will go for super low margins just because they love their art. They just want gigs and they overlook some of the stuff.
Well, I think there's the, they're going to see me. They're going to notice me. Someone's going to see me. I'm going to get noticed and I'm going to get more work. So there are probably times to even lose money on a shoot, but those times are rare. And I would almost guarantee you that most of our incredible audience of photographers, and I thank you all for being here, but most of our incredible audience of photographers isn't thinking that way. They're not thinking, okay, is this strategic? Vanity Fair has $2,000 and they've asked me to shoot a portrait that's going to cost me $3,000 to shoot, but I'm going to get a full page in Vanity Fair. Okay, that might be worth it. Or the bum, you know, the Mule Express in Duluth has asked me to do a $300 picture, and I don't even live in Duluth, and that market isn't going to help me, and it's a picture of a dentist, and I shoot still life, and nothing about this makes sense, and they're only offering me $300 and it's going to cost me $500 to do. Like, weighing the times that you might get publicity and promotion out of doing something or something for your portfolio is the difficult thing. And I would almost guarantee that 90% of the times that every photographer thinks it's an opportunity, it's not.
And it's a really great point Michael brings up, where, you know, you could take the picture of the dentist, even though that you're into still life and that's what you want to focus on. And I feel like whether it's in photography or just any business in general, there is this temptation to go too broad just to get an extra gig. While you see a lot of people who are successful, they decide to really narrow their focus on a few key areas. So how do we get that narrow focus where we turn down gigs that could make some sense, but don't really connect? It's like you're trying to convince yourself it's a good opportunity if it's too broad. So how do we get better at staying narrow?
I think you hit the nail on the head earlier, but you got to know what a job costs you. I mean, here's an example. I shoot, and I'll throw some numbers out there. I'll shoot, three or four corporate executives. It started out as a magazine assignment, and it became a little commercial job. And it's not a lot of money. People know my reputation and my name, and they'll go, wow, you know, you'll do a job for this amount. But I'll shoot like headshots and a group shot for these teams at a financial firm, and every team has their own webpage. So it's not as if the company is hiring me, it's the team. So I basically need an assistant, a hair and makeup artist, and then I need to get four or five pictures retouched, and I have an offshore retoucher to do it effectively. So I know I have to bill $5,000 to $3,500 to do these pictures, right? I've got an assistant, we've got digital equipment, a computer, I've got a hair and makeup artist to do it right. I've then got to pay for retouching afterwards. You know, it's a production. I bring lights, I do the whole thing right. So on some of those things, we've had very, very successful shoots, and the people we've shot have said it's the best photography they've ever had, which is what I try to build my brand around. In other cases, you know, I get a reply back from the, you know, an admin from the team, the secretary. It's like, well, one of the, you know, investment bankers, realizing these are investment bankers dealing with a $1 billion worth of money, has a cousin who can do this whole job for $700. I'm like, good luck with that. Like, what am I going to do? Like, how do you compete? That's when you know you have to just walk away. Because you know that when you add up your marketing and your overhead, your education, your equipment, you know, and all your costs for the day, that it's upside down and shooting corporate pictures is not going to help you.
And Michael just mentioned so many great points in there. One of them I want to double down on is, you know, walk away when you have to. Just because someone's giving you money to do something doesn't necessarily mean you should take it, because sometimes you're just going to end up in a loss. Other times you can find yourself getting narrow in an area that you hate. So I do like this idea of walking away when the financials don't make sense or you feel like you're pursuing something you don't want to actively pursue.
That's true. That's very, very true. Unless it's going to move your career forward, either through exposure. And you have to be really serious about the exposure part. Like, the exposure part has to make sense. It has to be the right people looking at the right type of work, right? So either that, or it's going to build a piece for your portfolio. And again, you have to weigh the circumstances. Do you have like 3 minutes with the person? Do you have more time? Do you have enough production values to the shoot? Where the people are going to look good and it's worth shooting. Because if they don't look good and the picture doesn't look good, it's not really going to be a portfolio piece. So you have to weigh all of those things, and then you can figure out whether it's, you know, whether it's worth the loss of money. It's rarely worth the loss of money because you're in business. Mm. You're in business to make money and eat and survive, right?
Yeah, I mean, money's been a big conversation just looking at the numbers, because that is what you have to have, that type of mindset to grow and to grow profitably in a sustainable way. So that's a really great insight we've been talking about throughout our time together. If you guys have really enjoyed this episode, I'm going to definitely recommend you guys check out Michael and his work. So for all the listeners wondering, Michael, where do we go to follow your work and journey?
So everything's on my website. It's michaelgreco.com. It's Michael, GRECCO.com, Greco with two C's, michaelgreco.com. And, you know, I really appreciate all the listeners here today spending time, and, you know, I wish you success. I think perseverance and lots of education is the way to go. So
we will have that link in the show notes for everyone who wants to check out Michael and his work. This was such a great episode, Michael. Thank you so much for joining us on Breakthrough Success.
Thanks, Mark.